Australia sees its biggest ever corporate takeover offer. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. U.S. digital payments platform Square has offered to buy an Australian firm called Afterpay in an all-stock deal valuing the company at $29 billion. The 7-year-old buy now, pay later company has 16 million customers and is used by 100 million businesses around the world. Its board has unanimously approved the transaction, though it will still require a regulatory seal of approval. From Brisbane, the BBC's Simon Atkinson explains what the company does and why Square was attracted to it.
So Afterpay is a company that lets people buy things effectively in installments. So say you were buying a pair of trainers for $100, you'd have the option to pay $25 every month over 4 months, and you would get those goods at the start when you bought them, and you kind of pay it off over time. And this is a kind of a model which, as e-commerce has grown, has become very popular here in Australia. It's hard to go and buy anything online without being offered the opportunity to use Afterpay now. PayPal recently said that it was interested in setting up a similar business. There's talk about Apple trying to do something similar as well. So this is a kind of a payment arena that Square is looking to get involved in, and it's doing that by making this offer to buy Afterpay.
And as you say, this buy now, pay later trend has sort of boomed during the pandemic. There are some estimates that expect this space to grow 15 times the size that it currently is. But there are still risks to consumers, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, there's no two ways about it. If you don't pay and on time, you know, you get charged. And it does make some of its money, believed to be a little bit under 20%, by charging its customers late fees. And there have been calls for it to be more stringently regulated here in Australia. It only makes up about 1% apparently of all overall online transactions, but there are arguments that, look, it should be treated any differently to the regulations around credit cards and that kind of thing.
The BBC's Simon Atkinson for us in Brisbane. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Well, shares of Afterpay rallied more than 18.5% today in Australia as investors welcomed that takeover offer. Checking some other numbers now, despite fresh data showing Chinese factory growth slipped last month, stocks across Asia continued their bounce back from last week's sell-off, which was caused by worries over a fresh regulatory crackdown in China. Today, the Shanghai Composite Index rose 1.9%, the Nikkei in Japan jumped 1.8%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng gained 1%. Here in Europe, shares are also in the green. Benchmarks across London, Paris, and Frankfurt are up in the wide range of 0.2% to 1%. Starting today, fully vaccinated people from the U.S. and most of the EU are able to travel here to the U.K. without needing to quarantine. Visitors on the hunt for entertainment options may look to London's famed West End theaters. In 2018, they racked up almost $2 billion in ticket sales before being battered by the coronavirus pandemic. But as restrictions here continue to ease, those red velvet seats are once again filling up. That's a relief for the industry's 300,000 workers, including one actor we've been following throughout the pandemic.
I think being surrounded with people that haven't worked in the last sort of 17 months to now be actually on stage is kind of crazy.
When the bright lights of London's West End theatres went dark last March, Thomas Inge, like many other performers, found himself suddenly out of work. He traded his dancing shoes for a trusty pair of sneakers, and they supported him as a grocery store supervisor through the early part of the pandemic last spring. This weekend, though, Inge got his groove back.
I think we're all pinching ourselves that it's actually happening.
He's taken the stage as part of the ensemble in a production of Singin' in the Rain.
Singin' in the Rain is such a wonderful, uplifting show. But there is a bit of nerves. I mean, it's a new show. I've not done the show before. And we've had a very short sort of technical process to get into the theatre.
The show must go on, but with pandemic guidelines in place. Inge said actors are COVID tested every day, and the directors have even tweaked plot lines and split the cast into bubbles.
So in my dressing room, we don't have two people that cover the same role in case one of them goes down. Our whole dressing room will isolate, but it means they can still do the show because we are not sort of in close contact with those people.
At a theater across town, this is one of many concerns top of mind for Eleanor Lloyd.
So this is the debating chamber at London County Hall. That used to be.
She's the producer of an Agatha Christie play, witness for the prosecution, and president of the Society of London Theatre.
It's a huge problem for theatre. There are shows having to be cancelled all over the place.
She said productions can, in many cases, survive shutting down once. But beyond that, it becomes more difficult because there's no ticket income and it's harder to pay workers and rent. The Society of London Theatre estimates 70% of theatres will run out of cash by the end of this year. So they're calling for more support from the UK government to help the industry stay afloat.
We'd like to see a test-to-release system, so if somebody has been a close contact of a positive case, they can be tested, and as long as they test negative, they can continue to come to work. And then the really big thing we need is insurance. We are unable to get cancellation insurance for anything to do with COVID.
Despite the uncertainty, Thomas Inge is hopeful.
Good morning! Good morning!
I've gone to see a few other shows as well over the last few weeks, and it's just been wonderful. And the audience reaction was amazing, and I know ticket sales are doing really well for Singing in the Rain.
Well, if all goes according to plan, Singing in the Rain will spend the next 5 weeks here in London before jetting off on tour to Canada and Japan. From one kind of show to another, an American investment fund and real estate company have announced plans to build a film, TV, and digital production complex in Hertfordshire, a county just north of London. The companies Blackstone and Hudson Pacific Properties already run 4 studios in the U.S. If their foray into England receives planning permission, they'll invest close to $1 billion in the project, which is expected to create more than 4,000 jobs here. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.